Winning Nevada takes all of us coming together in our communities to elect champions who share our values and beliefs. ClarkCountyRepublicans.org is a website featuring important information like who your 2020 candidates are, how to register to vote, how to contact your legislators, how to volunteer. We help you find fun Republican events. Visit ClarkCountyRepublicans.org today. And don't forget, click the donate button. That's ClarkCountyRepublicans.org.
For years now, I've been telling you how I love the great smooth taste of Real Water. I also love the convenience and cost savings of their home delivery service. Real Water has upped its game again with Real Water Concentrate. Just a few squirts of the Real Water Concentrate, and you can transform any good purified water into real water. To learn more, just go to my website, KevinWallRadio.com. That's KevinWallRadio.com, and click on the Real Water icon at the top right of the page. Now, you can get Real Water anytime, anyplace, on the go.
Washington, D.C. It got a lot of evil there, but we're getting it out step by step. A lot of evil. A lot of bad people. A lot of bad people. A lot of fake media. Look at them. A lot of fake media. Listen up! NBC is perhaps worse than CNN, I have to tell you. And MSNBC is horrible.
Check it out!
It's 1999. I'm on Meet the Press. A show now headed by Sleepy Eyes Chuck Todd. He's a sleeping son of a bitch, I'll tell you.
That sounds awfully harsh. Why can't you be a little more supportive?
Number one, time is running out. Number two, time is running out. Number three, time is running out. Number four,
here we go. Ladies and gentlemen, Kevin Wall.
Great to have you with us on this Thursday edition of Live and Local Now. Don't forget, coming up bottom of the hour, very excited. The president's going to be out on the stump today and tomorrow. He's going to be in Minneapolis today. He is going to be in Lake Charles, Louisiana tomorrow. What will the message be? Liz Harrington, a national spokesperson for the Republican National Committee. You'll hear from her coming up bottom of the hour. And we'll find out what's on the president's mind and why he's going to Minnesota. Minnesota's been one of those places that has been traditionally Democrat. It is a Democrat stronghold. Why is he going to Minnesota? We're going to find out bottom of the hour. First, though, I mentioned in our previous segment, a lot of candidates for public office, they always want to talk about illegal immigration and how we fix it. But very few of them have ever been to the border. Have actually talked with Border Patrol agents. Our next guest, Charles Navarro, running for CD4, he wants to go be your congressman. He wants to replace Stephen Horsford. He's been to the border. In fact, he's just back from the border. Charles, good morning.
Good morning. Thank you for having me.
Tell me about this trip. I know you had been planning it when we talked to you after you announced. You said, right. I'm going to go to the border. You fulfilled that promise even before you were elected.
Yep.
Talk a little bit about how this trip came to be and where you went and what you saw.
Absolutely. So running for office, you know, immigration is going to be a huge thing you want to tackle. And it's been kicked down the road so many years by all the politicians up there in D.C. And knowing that, I'm just tired of it as well. And so my initial reaction is, and when I'm running for office, let's figure out what's going on down there. And you know what? Let's find out the facts and figure out what the solution is going to be. And so when planning on running for office, I was like, you know what? Let's plan a trip and let's figure it out and see what's going on down there. And sure enough, we planned it out and went down to El Paso. Had a great visit. I mean, it was hugely eye-opening. We went and toured some of the wall that was built up by the organization We Build the Wall. And Foreman Mike, he's great guy, great information that they opened my eyes up to truly the atrocities that are happening down there. But more importantly, though, the positive impact, though, that this section of the wall that they've built up privately, the impact it's done in regards to the illegal crossings and everything else. And so a lot of the information that I was able to gather from over there, though, I'm going to be putting out there and disseminating in regards to new policies and stuff like that that will help better address some of the current crisis situations that are going on.
Name me two things you learned, things you didn't know, things that maybe were a surprise to you. Give me one or two.
So when going down there, it was something beyond belief in regards to the amount of people that were actually crossing over. And so oftentimes in the media and the news articles and such, they'll put figures in there around the hundreds and so. But in this particular section of the wall, there was actually 33,000 crossings that were happening before this wall got built up.
And are these 33,000 captures or 33,000 people that just came across?
33.
Some may have been captured, some were not.
Correct. Yeah. It was, and because they can't capture everybody, you're only going to be able to put so many manpower on that section of the wall or the border, excuse me, in order to actually protect it and everything else. And so Border Patrol actually said per day, though, it was about 1,000 people crossing this one area there with El Paso and Juarez, where they meet. And so the other thing, though, too, is the humanitarian side of it, too, as well, that what some of these people are going through as they begin their journey and cross over the border. And more importantly, though, right there over the Anacapra side was some of the sex houses that are over there, that some of these women and children that when they began their journey, they get picked up by the coyotes and go over there. And some of the things that they have to endure and experience just to, you know, be able to get across. I mean, it's something that no one should ever have to endure. And again, no one's ever making them come over to the border. But understanding and experiencing their plight and why it is they're leaving from Central America, coming up here, but then also what they're willing to endure for a better opportunity, those are all things that we have to take in consideration in regards to how it is we're going to be fixing the immigration policies that we currently have to make it better and to try and funnel them to actually do it the legal way. Instead of the illegal way, but also addressing, too, how much support we can then lend to the Border Patrol, too.
Let me ask you, did you get a chance to talk to any locals? I know sometimes when you talk to the politicians down there, they're almost embarrassed that you have to have a wall, and they've been talking against the wall, that this is not, you know, this is, you know, we're a community of inclusivity, not exclusivity.
Right. So interesting fact is actually the current elected representative over there in El Paso, Congresswoman Escobar, there was reports out there that she actually had her staff go across the border and help them find a way around the processes that Border Patrol has put up to keep those people over there in Mexico if they don't meet medical health concerns and if they don't understand English either as well, or if they don't understand Spanish, then there's certain things that allow them to cross over easily. And so in speaking to, there was a woman who did have the opportunity to speak to, though, and she does more of the advocacy side of the whole entire immigration. So I wanted to get her perspective of everything as well. And she told me, too, about some of the issues that lie in the court system that a lot of them will have to go see. And what will happen, though, is that their court dates, when they show up to the court hearing, it either gets postponed, canceled, or rescheduled. And that then puts a more burden on them because, I mean, if they're going to be here not having gone through the actual process and a ruling ruled on in regards to their illegality coming over here, they're kind of just floundering for the next few days, weeks, or however long it takes them to get the next court date. And then they're just moving about the country freely and kind of just doing their thing. It was interesting. And she expressed her concerns in regards to working with those organizations that are helping provide their assistance for when they get over here and everything, too.
Charles Navarro joining us. He is running for Congress in CD4. He wants to replace Stephen Horsford, a do-nothing former lobbyist that is holding down CD4 right now. Did you get a chance to check out any of the detention centers in that particular sector?
So I couldn't actually get into the actual detention centers themselves. But what was expressed to me by some Border Patrol, though, that could talk to me, what was actually happening over there, though, is that a lot of the field agents who are normally patrolling the areas of responsibility along the border, a lot of them have been reassigned to doing the processing of these asylum claims. And so that's taking the manpower away from actually patrolling the border section itself and responding to whenever someone's coming across or doing anything illegal like that, to now processing paperwork and working on these claims where, you know, if only the government were able to actually put some additional funding and put some resources where they actually are needed, you know, things would be handled a lot differently out there, I believe.
Let me just ask you, because a lot of people believe that we have turned the corner, that the help that Mexico and other Central American countries have given us just in the last 6 months, that what we're seeing is the numbers are going down. You've got some numbers.
Right.
Talk a little bit about the difference and that Mexico actually helping rather than hurting us.
Right.
What the impact has been down there.
Absolutely. So initially, back at the peak of back in May, we saw a peak of about 144,000 crossings from what's being reported by Border Patrol, or DHS at least. And through several initiatives, though, coming out of the Trump administration, is what has now driven those crossings down to a staggering low, almost to where it was back in 2017, 2018 as well. Around 30,000 now is what we're approaching. And so to those policies that DHS is implementing in regards to the cooperation between Mexico and Trump in regards to making sure that no one can cross over, but also Mexico shipping them back out to El Salvador and Guatemala and wherever else. And then additionally, too, is in regards to the processing of the asylum claims, is that they need to process it within the first country that they actually cross, which is, again, helping us stop them from their initial start of travel instead of them allowing them to get all the way to America, where now Trump is going to be doing the stopping of the catch and release, where they get to the border, they initiate the process, and then they release them inside the United States, expecting them then to come to their next hearing.
So what's happening now? I know for a long time El Paso was a kind of a way station, if you will,
right?
Where folks from Central America on these surges would come, get to the border, would not be allowed into the United States,
Yeah. And
thus were they had to create not detention centers, but essentially.
Right.
Camps where these folks could come and at least hang out until their name is called and they
right.
get to come in.
Yeah, and
where
and,
are we on that?
And to that point, you know, for what Trump is doing and initiating stuff like that to try and build up a better facility for them, you know, under the Obama administration, being in the military still, back at Port Hueneme, we actually had the children being held there on the military installation. And when I get there and I report for my drill weekend and I'm trying to get to a certain point on base, and lo and behold, all of a sudden there's a gate and it has the green materials over there so you can't look inside of it, so you can't see through. And I'm like, what the heck is going on? And there's private security all around. There's private security on a military installation protecting this gated area. And I'm like, okay, what the heck? I do base security. I'm like, I should know all this stuff. And so I get there, I'm like, what the heck is going on? And so I learn and find out that it was actually the immigrant children that are being housed on different military installations. And so to what Trump's efforts are doing in regards to building up private facilities over there, it's a lot better than restricting military access on their own military installations, preventing us from doing whatever exercises or activities that we need to be doing to carry out our duties on those military installations.
Charles Navarro joining us. We're going to take a quick break. Charles is running for Congress in CD4, and he is one of a growing number of folks that I think have learned the lesson that in order to talk about immigration in this country, you need to go to the border, you need to see what's going on. We'll get to more from his trip to El Paso, and again, he talked with locals, he talked with Border Patrol, he actually went to the wall. And saw the wall being built. We'll get to that and more coming up live and local now.
Congressman Horsford has us headed in the wrong direction, where criminal illegal immigrants get to stay and our borders remain unsecure. I am Sam Peters, the only Republican candidate who can defeat Horsford. I proudly served in the military for 20 years and earned a Bronze Star in Afghanistan. I'm devoted to family and am a small business owner. I'm the only candidate who supports building the wall, opposes sanctuary cities, and supports the balanced budget amendment. Please join me in this important campaign by going to sampetersforcongress.com. That's sampeters4congress.com. I approve this message.
Paid for by committee to elect Sam Peters.
Hey, Kevin Wall here. A few months ago, a friend invited me for a Tuesday evening of fun at Ichabod's Lounge. Ichabod's isn't in my neighborhood, and yeah, I had to drive an extra 10 minutes, but boy, am I glad I did. What I didn't know at the time was that Ichabod's has been there for 31 years and family-owned for 19 years. It's one of the top gaming bars in Las Vegas with the best promotions and amazing monthly cash giveaways and payouts. As they say at Ichabod's, we manage with generosity. Ichabod's features incredible menu items, including steaks, seafood, burgers, pasta, and five daily specials. And their kitchen's open 24 hours for you late-night foodies. And I just love Ichabod's old-school Vegas atmosphere. When everybody else is cutting back, Ichabod's continues to super serve its customers. Check out their nightly entertainment at the Piano Bar from 6:30 to 10:30. You want to win? You want to have fun? Then I'll see you at Ichabod's Vintage Vegas Dining, Gaming Lounge, and Piano Bar on East Flamingo at Pecos.
At its heart, free markets are about opportunity. I'm Michael Schaus, Communications Director for Nevada Policy. Advancing freedom, empowering individuals with opportunity, well, that's at the core of Nevada Policy's mission. It's the reason our organization exists. We believe individuals who work hard, take risks, and are dedicated to building a future for their family, they deserve the opportunity to pursue their dreams without politicians and government getting in the way. And you know what? We're not alone. Nevadans from all walks of life partner with us to promote the kind of free market solutions that maximize opportunities for individuals. Together, we work to preserve and expand the kind of freedom that has made Nevada such an amazing place to live. Now, more than ever, we're taking this message to a more diverse audience, letting more Nevadans than ever before know exactly how we're working to keep this state free and prosperous for them. Visit NevadaPolicy.org to learn more and to support our important work today. That's NevadaPolicy.org. This Nevada Policy Update is brought to you by Jim Marsh Kia, Jim Marsh Chrysler Jeep, and the Jim Marsh Auto Body Shop.
Roberto's Taco Shop. Real Mexican food you like.
Everyone knows when it comes to real Mexican food, there's only one name that comes to mind. Roberto's. Ah, the Chili Colorado Combo, a favorite of mine. Made with chunks of savory beef, smothered in a delicious tangy red chili sauce. Served with fluffy Mexican-style rice and beans.
Roberto's Taco Shop. Real Mexican food you like.
Oh, yeah. It's magnifico.
Hi, this is Chelsea Torres, Communications Director with Laborers Union Local 872. Laborers Local 872 is a construction union that strives to obtain more job opportunities for workers and employers. Local 872 is involved in issues that affect our daily lives, from creating good jobs to providing skilled job training, protecting health care, negotiating livable wages, ensuring safe job sites, providing safe neighborhoods for families, and honoring veterans and retirees. Laborers build everything you see on the Las Vegas Strip, from skyscrapers to casinos to stadiums. Laborers work in the tunnels and on the highways. We remediate buildings and make them safe by removing hazardous materials like asbestos and lead. With a legacy of hard work and getting things done, laborers are skilled, productive, proud, and diverse men and women who are building a stronger Nevada. Local 872 loves the Southern Nevada community, and we look forward to continuing to build a better future for all of us. Vegas strong, union proud.
790 Las Vegas and 98.1 Palm Springs. Talk now. Talk that rocks.
Don't forget Liz Harrington coming up bottom of the hour, talking about what the message will be tonight. The president will speak in Minneapolis tonight, Lake Charles, Louisiana tomorrow. What will the message be? Joining us, Charles Navarro, candidate for Congress in CD4. Unlike a lot of candidates out there that want to talk about immigration reform, here is a candidate who has actually been to the border. He has talked with Border Patrol. He has talked with immigrant advocates. I'm curious what the pattern seems to be. I mean, we see the people, we see the families coming over with babies in tow and all of that.
Mm-hmm.
First of all, who is it that's coming over? Who is it that's trying to cross into our country illegally? Is it the family of four? Is it a young male men?
Mm-hmm.
Who is it that's trying to come in?
You know, that's actually a really interesting question, and oftentimes people don't necessarily know the full picture of what's really happening. And so this is to your question, what you said earlier, what was one of the things I found interesting. So this is it. And so you hear about the women and the children that are traveling. A lot of times the children are traveling by themselves.
The unaccompanied minors,
57% of them are unaccompanied, not to the capacity of what people are claiming. And point in case, here's one of the things that they told me about. Was that in this section of the wall that was built over there by We Build a Wall Company organization, there was a woman who had trafficked 15 children, and she had she was getting paid $1,500 a child. And it wasn't until her last child that she got caught. And then she said, I'll confess to whatever you want, and I'll tell you whatever it is that you want to hear. And not necessarily what you want to hear, but she'll tell you the truth and everything else. And so when you're looking at some of these unaccompanied minors that are coming over, truly, in fact, they are coming unaccompanied. And that oftentimes the coyotes and the drug smugglers, they'll actually pair them up with random adults just to get them to get through the border and through the system as well. So it's more of like a family dynamic that they're that people will see over there at the border.
Yeah.
And then putting them over in different housing and such like that. And so it was truly eye-opening in that aspect. And to add on to that, the other thing that was truly eye-opening too is that the people that were crossing over just 2 days before this wall in the section that got built, there were two truckloads, about 40 some odd people plus, of Chinese nationals that came through this section of the wall. And in addition to that, though...
Wait a minute. Stop the presses. You're saying these are Chinese nationals,
yeah.
A group of 40 that tried to come through?
Yeah, at two different times. Yeah, they stopped the truck and they opened it up in the back and they're like, holy smokes, like what the heck is this? And in addition to that, though, they're seeing Somalias, and then also people coming over from Turkey, and then Cubans, people from Brazil. I mean, it just. People from all over the globe truly are trying to seep through the border and this area in general, and not just people from Mexico or from Central America, but like I said, from various countries all over the globe. And if you could think about it too, who's paying for their trips? I mean, that's a lot of money. And you know, typically just coming through Central America, it's going to be a couple thousand. But if you're coming over from across the sea and you got to travel by boat for a little bit or whatever, I mean, truly you got to have some deep pockets, or someone else has to have some deep pockets to get you across the border as well.
Wow. If folks want to know more about your story of your trip to the border, did you bring back any video, any photos, anything like that?
We got video and we got photo. We're going to be putting it up on our campaign website at NavarroForNevada.com. And we're going to be putting it up there, all the information for everyone to see. And it's actually a great thing, too, is that the We Build the Wall organization, they actually have a live camera, too. So if people want to see that, and I'm actually going to be subscribing to that, and so I'm going to see if we can put that up on the website as well. So you can actually look live at what's happening at the border. And the guy told me too, actually this morning, just the other night, a coyote actually had someone help them get across the Rio Grande over there outside of where they built the wall. And so truly, when you build the wall, it works. I mean, granted, people are going to find another way around it, but you know, at least then you can focus on your resources and controlling those areas.
And I'm assuming, I've only got like 15, 20 seconds.
Yeah.
The Border Patrol loves you guys, loves the idea of building the wall.
Absolutely.
And the organizations that are trying to do it.
Absolutely. There's a section of the wall that I went in. They were able to travel it for 20 seconds instead of the 15 minutes that it took them to patrol it.
Folks want to reach out to you. How do they do it?
Reach me on www.NavarroForNevada.com.
The number or the letters?
The letters, F-O-R, Nevada.com.
Very good. Charles, thank you, man. Safe travels in CD4.
I appreciate it.
We'll talk again soon.
Absolutely. Thank you.
Coming up, Liz Harrington, really nice lady, knows her stuff. What is the president's message going to be tonight in Minneapolis and again tomorrow in Lake Charles, Louisiana? She'll tell us coming up next from the Republican National Committee. That's all next, live and local now. It is live and local now. Good to have you with us. We had scheduled Liz Harrington to join us. She is from the Republican National Committee. She is a national spokesperson for that organization. And of course, whenever we do, we always know that there may be something that comes up overnight or earlier in the day, East Coast time, that may kind of send us off in a different direction. But I had a chance to visit with Liz Harrington earlier today. I asked her about the breaking news that two supposed associates of Rudy Giuliani were arrested earlier today, and talked about the breaking news.
The president's attorney, Jay Sekulow, came out with a statement that said if you actually read the indictment, neither the Trump campaign nor the White House have anything to do with these two individuals. So I think it's just another example. If you look at the Southern District of New York, it's one of the most far left law enforcement, you know, operations in the country that have been out to get the president and anyone associated with him from the beginning, and they haven't had much success. So I would just remind listeners, they promised, you know, they were going to get the president's tax returns, and they promised they were going to get something with Stormy Daniels and all this nonsense, and they've fallen up short. So let's look at the track record there.
I want to ask you, because more and more we're hearing from Democrats that the drumbeat of impeachment keeps growing louder. I want to ask you what the attitude in and around the White House is. And I know you're in contact with the White House on a regular basis. What is your sense? Are they on a war footing right now? Do they believe that this thing is going to have to be battled in the courts?
Right. I think we want a fair process. You know, I think we're pretty confident that this is just another political hit job. I mean, people see it through what this is, and it's been the same playbook from the beginning. And if you read, the White House had a very strong response to the House Democrats' show trial that they're running, and they said, we're not going to comply with this. If you're so sure about your facts and evidence, which clearly they aren't, since Adam Schiff had to make up a fake transcript during his hearing, if they're so confident about this and about the wrongdoing that they cannot name, then put a vote to the floor. Let's have an actual process. Let's have something which historically, when impeachment goes through, the minority party has rights. You have due process. You are allowed to question witnesses. Right now, there is so much secrecy. They are trying to move this so-called whistleblower to a different, not even bring him to the Capitol and have him in secret and change their voice and alter them. Clearly, that shows this individual has so much bias that they don't want to put them out in front of the American people so we can judge for ourselves. So we're very confident. We have the facts on our side. We released the transcript. There's no wrongdoing whatsoever. And in fact, the more we find out, it always comes back to the Democrats. We're working with other Democrats, whether it's these far-left attorneys who are representing this informant from the CIA, who is also a registered Democrat. They were working before this complaint even came out. And so that's what we need to get to the bottom of. And we're not going to play the far-left's game and allow them to do a totally biased show trial without any facts or evidence, but completely skewed in favor of the Democrats.
Liz, there is an assumption that's out there that if the House would put this to a full vote, then the president and the administration would get these rights that you talked about, being able to have counsel, being able to depose witnesses, to subpoena witnesses. Is that necessarily true that it would take a House vote to open up all these different rights, or is that an assumption we're making right now?
That is true, but right now it's a faux impeachment process. It's not a real inquiry, and Democrats are making up new rules as they go along, and so they set all the standards. But if you have an actual vote, there's a process and there's proceedings involved, and it would go back to what we saw during the Clinton years and during Nixon, even though he wasn't actually impeached. You had bipartisan subpoenas. You had people, you had a fair process at least trying to get to the truth. In this case, it's just a complete and total sham. And they're allowing one Republican in when they deposed Kurt Volker for 10 hours, and they didn't allow Republicans to ask questions. And then they don't release the full transcript. They don't even provide the full transcript to the House Republicans in that committee, and they selectively just release a handful of text messages when there were 67 pages turned over. And this is a complete farce, and it's because the Democrats are trying to drum up support for a phony impeachment because they clearly do not have the facts on their side.
Again, Liz Harrington joining us, a national spokesperson for the Republican National Committee, joining us from our nation's capital. I just saw a poll this morning. Majority of voters now want Trump impeached. That is according to a Fox News poll released. 51% of registered voters. What can you tell me about the poll?
Well, it polls a lot of Democrats. And so when you have 48% of the makeup of that poll being Democrat, it's not that difficult to get over 50%. But the fact remains, Fox has had notoriously bad polling from going back to the 2016 campaign. It's very heavily skewed in favor and overrepresenting of Democrats in these polls. And if you look at the independents, which are underrepresented, they support do not support impeachment by a wide margin, by over 10 points. So if you look at the actual underlyings of some of these other polls we've seen come out as well, people see through this for what it is. The Hill had a good write-up about one of these CBS polls that said, oh, all these people support impeachment. Well, what that poll actually said was the vast majority of Americans see through what this is as a way to hurt President Trump and damage him politically going into an election. And it was a wide margin said that. So you have to look at the underlining data in a lot of these polls. You have to look at their metrics and who they're asking. And the fact is, Democrats have wanted to impeach this president since before he was even inaugurated. Okay, so they didn't need a reason. They've been just looking for an excuse since day one. And clearly Russia fell completely on its face when you had Robert Mueller testify. It was a complete sham. It was a complete lie. And now they've moved on to Ukraine. The facts are still not there. There's no wrongdoing. And so they're trying to drudge up support, but people are smarter than that, and they see through it.
Then do you debunk the polling that's been cited by numerous Democrats that 58% of Americans want the impeachment inquiry? That tells me that there are a lot of people in America that want to get to the bottom of this. That doesn't
right.
necessarily mean they think the president's guilty of anything.
Exactly. It all comes down to how you ask the question, right? And so if you're asking, oh, do you want to see more information about how this happened? Sure. I think most people would say that. And, you know, President Trump has been completely transparent in that regard. He allowed Kurt Volker to testify. He released the transcript. I mean, what all this hysteria and what all these allegations came out for weeks about this so-called phone call, the president released it. We can all read it for ourselves. We don't need second and third hand accounts from far left Democrats in the CIA who hire Joe Biden donating attorneys and another attorney who worked directly for Jim Clapper. None of these are impartial sources. And so we can read what happened for ourselves. And I encourage everyone to read it. And if you read it, it shows, in fact, no push, no pressure, no quid pro quo. But in fact, what President Trump was trying to get to the bottom of was the Democrats soliciting foreign dirt on their opponents in 2016 from Ukraine against Donald J. Trump. That's the scandal here. And that's what we've been trying to get to the bottom of, which the Mueller investigation curiously did not look into. Curiously did not look into all the attempts by Russia and elsewhere to spread disinformation about Donald Trump in the Steele dossier. This is the scandal, and that's what we need to get to the bottom of.
It's going to be a busy couple of days for the president. He's going to be out on the road tonight in Minneapolis and tomorrow, Lake Charles, Louisiana. Explain what the message will be, especially in Minnesota, where you're going into enemy territory there. Explain what the president's trying to do going to Minnesota.
Absolutely. This is a state that very narrowly went to Hillary Clinton in 2016, only 1.5 percentage points. We have a great opportunity to turn this state, and we're going to tout the economy. The president's going to be talking about the great successes for Minnesota. 55,000 new jobs since he took office. The state's unemployment rate is down to 3.3%. You have the Iron Range, which is a iron ore manufacturing is coming back to life. This is a community in Minnesota that has voted Democrat for decades, and now they're saying the Democrat Party has left them. They didn't leave it, they left them, and they've gone too far to the left. And so when you have a mayor, a radical mayor, like a Mayor Fry in Minneapolis, trying to block the president from coming by imposing an absurd security bill over $500,000 when they they charged Barack Obama when he came to the same menu, only $20,000 for security. We see that the radical left is trying to silence us. They're trying to stop debate. And Mayor Fry is a close ally of Ilhan Omar. So we have a big opportunity to show the contrast of freedom and prosperity, free speech, high employment. And then you look at the radical left going the way of Ilhan Omar with her anti-American sentiment, her anti-Semitic remarks, and calling for socialist policies in America. We have a tremendous opportunity to show that contrast, and I think you'll see it on full display tonight.
Again, Liz Harrington joining us from the RNC, the national spokesperson for that organization. Lake Charles, Louisiana, where you've got a governor's race going on there. You've got a couple of Republicans in the race. Is the president favoring one or the other?
Well, from our perspective, we do not get involved at the RNC in primaries. We'll have to wait to see what the president says. And he always likes to let his support known when he endorses someone on Twitter. So we'll wait to see. But Lake Charles, Louisiana, will also be a great event on Friday night. The president loves going out and talking directly to the voters about what matters to them.
So there you have it, Liz Harrington from the Republican National Committee. By the way, there is breaking news. You know, we always talk about, we always talk about how the, you know, when a Republican member of Congress decides to not run for re-election, all of a sudden the Democrats, you know, wring their hands and say, oh, you see, more people, more rats leaving the sinking ship. Well, how about this one? And this is a big one. New York Representative Nita Lowey, the first female chair of the House Appropriations Panel, will not seek re-election in 2020. She is a longtime veteran. That's incredible. You want to join us, you want to be a part of the show, you can. It's our wall-to-wall free-for-all. You know how that works. 844, the number 2, Nevada. It's 844-263-8232. In fact, tell you what, let's do. Let's see if we can squeeze in a call before we go to break. You want to do that? Yeah, let's do that. Let's go to, I haven't heard from Clinical Carl. Carl, you're up and you're on Live and Local Now. Go right ahead.
Yeah, Kevin, no humor today, unfortunately. This is about the Trump and his Kurd deal, which I think is absolutely horrible. He said in a news interview, the Kurds really didn't do that much to help us, but they didn't even help us back at the invasion of Normandy in World War II, 75 years ago. You know, I was kind of worried about him a little bit between the years. Now I'm really getting worried about him. You know, what he's done is he's helping not only Turkey, which he has a building in Turkey. He's helping Russia with all this. And so he ends up getting thousands and thousands of Kurds who are allies, who lost thousands, helping us fight ISIS, killed. But he did say, I have great and unmatched wisdom, so I guess he knows what he's doing.
Hey, let me ask
but
you.
To me, that's...
Carl. Overall, did you agree with the president when, during the campaign, he said, I want to bring our troops home? Did you think he was joking? Did you believe him?
No, I really didn't, and I'll tell you why. Every general down the line, every admiral down the line, even people in his own cabinet say, this is the most ridiculous thing in the world. He's just abandoning people who helped us. He's going to end up getting thousands of these Kurds killed. Right now they're killing them. They've already bombed and killed about 24. I just heard it on the news. And what he's doing is he's doing Putin's work, because this is what Putin wants. He wants him and the president of Turkey. He's got a hotel there. There's reasons he takes orders from both of them, I think.
Well, we'll find out. Is it the right policy? I will tell you this, Carl. I'm not crazy about what he did. It kind of flies in the face of the way I understand what's going on over there, and I don't pretend to be an expert. Stick around. More to do as we continue. We're going to take a quick break. We'll get to more of your calls coming up from all across our listening area. In the Coachella Valley, I always love it when we hear from folks from the Coachella Valley. Here's the number for you. It's the same as everybody else, believe it or not. 844, the number 2, Nevada. That's 844-263-8232. I'm Kevin Wall. The program is live and local now. Are you among the millions of Americans who feel uncertain when it comes to their health care? Hey, Kevin Wall here. I'm happy to inform you there is a solution, and that solution is Liberty HealthShare. Liberty HealthShare is a community of like-minded people who work together to pay for their medical costs. There are no networks, so you choose your doctor and hospital. Liberty HealthShare allows you to easily decide how, when, and where you will access healthcare. It could be the best practical, moral, and economical choice for you and your family. Starting at $107 a month for a single, up to $449 a month for a family, that's mom, dad, and all kids. This is the way healthcare should be. For information, call 855-58-LIBERTY. That's 855-58-LIBERTY. Or visit lightyourliberty.com. That's lightyourliberty.com. And regain control over healthcare costs. Together, we're changing healthcare for good.
Hello, this is Jared Fisher. I'm a business owner, community thought leader, and I ran for governor in 2018. As the owner of Las Vegas Cyclery and Escape Adventures, I know the importance of exercise and spending time in the outdoors. And I know the amazing outdoor experiences we have in Nevada. Las Vegas Cyclery has kids' bikes, affordable hybrid mountain bikes, and gift cards. We also have a wide variety of the latest e-bikes, which allows anyone to ride a bike, especially for those who want to ride a bike again but have some limitations. For more information, visit LasVegasCyclery.com. We're located at 10575 Discovery Drive at the exit ramp of Town Center and 215. Our phone number is 702-596-2953. And for those of you who are interested in a more extended outdoor experience, visit escapeadventures.com for gift cards and a one-of-a-kind outdoor adventure. Escapeadventures.com.
The 2020 election is right around the corner. We need to elect champions who share our values and beliefs. But candidates need your help. ClarkCountyRepublicans.org teaches volunteers the ground strategy and knowledge necessary to elect candidates at every level of government. Come join us. Get trained. Succeed. Visit ClarkCountyRepublicans.org today. And don't forget, click the donate button. That's ClarkCountyRepublicans.org.
Congressman Horsford has us headed in the wrong direction, where criminal illegal immigrants get to stay and our borders remain unsecure. I am Sam Peters, the only Republican candidate who can defeat Horsford. I proudly served in the military for 20 years and earned a Bronze Star in Afghanistan. I'm devoted to family and am a small business owner. I'm the only candidate who supports building the wall, opposes sanctuary cities, and supports a balanced budget amendment. Please join me in this important campaign by going to sampetersforcongress.com. That's sampeters4congress.com. I approve this message.
Paid for by Committee to Elect Sam Peters.
Roberto's Taco Shop, real Mexican food you like. Come celebrate the taste and press selection of classic Mexican plates.
In Las Vegas, no one needs to remind you about Wednesdays at Roberto's Taco Shop. Indeed, it's $1.29 chicken taco day. You heard it right. Ah, grande, juicy, crunchy tacos. Loaded with hot, savory chicken, crispy lettuce, and mounds of cheese. All for just $1.29 each. Add a refreshing drink and perfecto. $1.29 chicken tacos. Only at Roberto's Taco Shop. I like what they've done to my Wednesdays. Stop in today and be our guest to the best. Roberto's 24-hour taco shop with 50 convenient locations serving you.
Roberto's Taco Shop. Real Mexican food you like. Oh, yeah.
790 Las Vegas and 98.1 Palm Springs. Talk now. Talk that rocks.
And is Live and Local Now. I just absolutely love it. I want you to hear the President of the United States. And you heard earlier in the program Joe Biden calling for the impeachment. First time he's done this, calling for the impeachment of the president. But I want you to hear, and this is going to be cut seven, because the president spoke, I would say very forcefully, relative to Joe Biden and his demand for impeachment. This is cut seven. This was the president yesterday at the White House.
Mr. President, Joe Biden came out for the first time today and said you should be impeached. Your response?
Well, he's falling like a rock. We have him on tape with corruption. I mean, he's getting the prosecutor for, I guess, John, it was $2 billion, saying we're not going to give you the $2 billion or whatever the amount was unless you get rid of this prosecutor. And then he goes, lo and behold, the prosecutor was gone. And that was the prosecutor. Excuse me, John?
$1.2 billion.
$1.2 billion. Not a lot of money. And then his son takes out $1.5 billion from China. And by the way, the $50,000 a month that he was getting from Ukraine looks like it's $168,000 split among him and somebody else, his friend. And also, there's a payment of about $3 million to his son. His son just got thrown out of the Navy. So Biden is dropping like a rock. I don't think he's going to make it. I didn't think he was going to make it for a long time. I don't think he's going to make it. And I guess this is one way he can do it. You know, he didn't say that until right now, and he sees what's happening to him. I guess he's no longer the front runner. But look, I feel badly for him because I know he's going through a lot. He's been hit and he's been caught red-handed. I mean, here's a man who is on tape saying exactly what he's going to do in terms of corruption, and he gets away with it. If that ever happened to a Republican, they'd be getting the electric chair right now. They'd be right now being walked into the electric chair. It's a whole different standard. What Joe Biden said on tape, this isn't like gee whiz we think. What he said on tape, and the fake media doesn't want to play the tape. They hardly play it. So I feel, you know, that it's too bad what's happened to him. He's sinking and his campaign's sinking. But he walked away with hundreds of, I mean, you look at the kind of numbers. His son, who is at best incompetent, got thrown out of the Navy. I don't even want to say why. A subject that we just discussed. I don't want to say why. But he gets thrown, and all of a sudden he's making a deal with Ukraine where they're getting $168,000 a month between the two of them. $168,000, and he gets $3 million payments, and all of this money coming out, and the kid has no expertise in energy, and it's an energy company. He has no expertise. You and I both know much more than he does, John. And then you walk into China, and a couple of days later, 10 days later to be exact, he gets $1.5 billion out of China. And he's got no expertise. And I have friends that are the smartest people on Wall Street. I said, is that possible? They say, no, it's not possible. It's a pretty sad situation.
There you have it, the president. He'll be speaking tonight in Minneapolis at the Target Center. Yeah, believe it or not. Yeah, this is, and by the way, there are going to be thousands of protesters outside. But there's going to be tens of thousands that are waiting to get in. This should be interesting. We'll have highlights for you tomorrow. Till we join you then, I'm Kevin Wall. Make the most of the rest of your day, would you please? Live and local now. Close your eyes, girl. Look inside, girl.